Well, good morning. If you don't recognize me, my name is Gar. I've been away for a little bit. If you're new to St. Thomas, we're really glad you're here. I've been off for a time of extended study and rest, and so I'm back this Sunday. So I'm grateful to be here. So a lot happened this week, right? I don't know about you, but I'm not talking about the Royals winning their division, by the way, which is great, but I don't remember a time in my life when a major religious leader of the world addressed our leadership in this country quite in the way that happened this week. The Pope was invited to speak to both houses of Congress, also with some of the Supreme Court justices present, as well as meeting with the president and others. And so we sort of had lots of images and conversation and words this week about Pope Francis. I'm not Roman Catholic, obviously. You figured that out. But certainly was inspired by many of the things that were said this week. And I hope you were too. And what's fascinating about everything that happened is here's a person who has devoted themselves to a life of prayer and has devoted themselves to a life of service of the church. And I'm willing to bet he was a little nervous and a little scared and was probably thinking in the back of his mind in his own language, which I can't speak, saying, how did I get here? How did this happen? And yet, what he was able to do was to show forth, in all sincerity, an earnest reflection about faith and about care for others and a care for the poor. And I don't know what you were paying attention to or what you heard, but there were certain images that sort of stayed with me. One was where he elected to go and to serve the poor, but to serve the homeless. Another was an image when he embraced an immigrant girl. Another was when he stopped and he went and kissed a young man who had cerebral palsy. And there are lots of other times when he had other actions that are actions that all of us in this room probably have taken or would take. But because of both his position and also his authenticity, highlighted something for us. And really, no matter what place you are in the political spectrum, he said something that might rankle you and make you a little uncomfortable. And maybe that's part of the prophetic voice that we heard, a prophetic voice of faith. I was thinking a lot about that when I read the lessons for today, in particular when I heard that lesson from James that we heard this morning about the faith community. I don't know if you remember what it said, but it says, if you're struggling or find yourself in need of prayer, pray. If you're sick, call others to yourself and have them pray for you. If you are in need of forgiveness, ask for forgiveness and forgive. It's an exhortation for us to be people of faith living within the community that we live, to do the things that Jesus would have us do. But isn't it easy for us to become hard-hearted? Isn't it easy for us to really, if we really think about it, are there some people that we would prefer that we didn't have to forgive? Or maybe, and I'm not talking just about annoyance, but real difficulty in offering that same kind of care for others. We can become so hard-hearted that we might even think of somebody as not us. Have you ever heard on the media someone being called un-American because they don't agree with that person's particular viewpoints? It's sort of a sense of tribalism in which we begin to cut off from others or to say that they are they and we are we, and we begin to make lines of demarcation. I think a lot about that and what we sort of saw this week and the lessons that we hear for today. We have a gospel in which Jesus encourages us at the end, some simple words. Keep your saltiness and be at peace with one another. The gospel begins with his apostles coming and saying to him, Jesus, people are doing what you said we could do. There's a church committee. You appointed us to be doing this healing and stuff, and somebody else is doing it in your name. And what does Jesus say? He says, whatever he does, whatever they're doing, it's okay. It comes from God. Don't worry about it. Let it go. If they're with us, they're with us. It's okay. Maybe not the answer they were expecting. And he goes on to tell us about not losing our flavor. Salt, as you know, is something, depending on which decade you've lived through, is either something you can put on your food or not, right? But we live in a culture in which salt is plentiful. We don't really have to struggle to get salt. If you're living in Kansas, we can pull salt out of the ground from the mines. There's also plenty of factories that make salt. You can go to the store and get all kinds of different salt. You can get flavored salt, natural salt, kosher salt, salt with iodine, salt with this. You can even get, salt-free salt. Figured that out, but you can get all kinds of stuff. And most of your food that you purchase has some salt in it. We don't think about it. In fact, you don't really even need to ever add anything to your food if you don't want to. And our food is fairly flavorful compared to what might have been in Jesus' time. But salt does other things. It's essential for life. And if you were to live where it was difficult to get salt, getting salt is what would keep you alive. If you've ever been in real heat or been out in the desert, or if you're someone who exercises or runs, you know how important keeping a salt balance is in your body, because it keeps you alive. It also preserves. It can help to make food last longer and to be safer to eat. And it does lots of other amazing things. And so when Jesus uses this metaphor about keeping our saltiness, he's talking about keeping our faith, or keeping our Spirit of God within us. And what he's saying is that you can't do it alone, but you've got to have that sense of God's Spirit within you. You can't lose that flavor or your saltiness. You can't lose that which is sustaining you or keeping you alive. That's the metaphor that he means. He says, and if you do, then you've lost something. So keep your flavor and be at peace with one another. Here's going to be a tough challenge for people of faith. We have an interesting year ahead of us, right? A little more than a year, about 14 months. It's an election cycle. And some would like to divide religious people into camps. Anybody seeing that going on? But here's a challenge even for us as a community. People in here think all kinds of different things. There are some Democrats, there's Republicans, there's probably all kinds of different variations of that, and even beyond those categories. But what if we really took to heart what Jesus says about keeping our flavor and being at peace with one another? How might we see things differently? If I could get away from the cameras and get away from the show, I would have liked to have heard what members of Congress said behind closed doors after the speech by the Pope. The Pope didn't hold anything back. And he offered teaching that all the churches that I know offer in some way. And I wonder somehow if we're willing to listen, to get past all the division and things like that. You might not know this, but I have Irish in my background pretty strongly. And I've done family history and kind of been curious what was happening. Most of my family is Roman Catholic, so I sort of expected that would to be that way. And if you know much about Ireland, there's not been too much friendliness between Protestants and Roman Catholics. And it has to do with England and all kinds of different things, and Anglicans and, lots of different divisions. And we know a lot of the things that happened in the 70s in particular, great fighting and things like that. So whenever I do family history, I kind of wonder and curious about it. And one of my aunts went and did a whole lot of research, and lo and behold, we have Protestants and Catholics in our background. We even have a few Anglican priests and bishops. I had no idea. This is new information the last year or so. Had no idea. And guess what? They're on all sides. And they even fought each other. And if we were to really sit down and we look at our country, I certainly don't think of the people over at Ascension Catholic Church as being bitter enemies. They're our friends. In fact, they used to use our worship space many years ago, decades ago. They started their church here. Our Lutheran friends over across the way here used to worship here. In fact, it used to be on a weekend, the Catholic Church would worship on Saturday night, the Episcopal Church worshiped on Sunday morning, and the Lutherans worshiped on Sunday night for a while. That couldn't have happened at certain points in history. But there was something about faith, and about love of neighbor, about care for the poor that draws us together. So maybe here's a challenge for you this week: to pray for each other, to forgive, to seek to serve the humans around us, the people around us that are creatures of God, just like you and I are. To hear our call to faithfulness as being primary in our life, and to live at peace with our neighbor. I think the world needs that now more than ever. And I think we're a church that can do that. We've kissed. We've kissed the people who are broken slightly. We've reached out to the immigrant. We've fed the poor in the past. We've been with those who have no homes. You see, the thing is, the Pope is just a person. The Pope sits in an office that's important. He's a person who's lived as a person of faith, as a person of prayer, as a person of sincerity. But he's also a person just like you and I. And we can live in that same way, whether we ever get to go talk to Congress or not. And if we miss that, then I think we really miss the point. So pray and be faithful. Keep your flavor. Keep your flavor and be at peace. Amen.